What is truth? As we look at these verses, this verse tonight, and even as we studied this morning, that question came to my mind, what is truth? Now, unless you've lived in a cave the last 2 weeks, you're probably aware of the fact that Facebook and its CEO founder, Mark Zuckerberg, have been in the news for maybe being less than truthful about how they dealt with the loss of data of many of their customers. When I was a child in my family, every evening at 5:30, we watched Chet Huntley and David Brinkley on NBC News. And when those two men spoke the news to us, we believed, maybe naively, but we believed that they were speaking the truth to us. We trusted in them. Now, everybody chooses a specific news feed that lines up with their political bent and what they already believe to be true. In other words, I already have my mind made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Fortunately, for us as Christians, we're in a position where we have an unshakable truth that doesn't change with times or political seasons. This morning, Ryan shared with us out of 2 John, and those first few verses are filled with the word truth over and over again. John said he loves in truth. He referred to all who know the truth. He talked about abiding in truth. He offered grace, mercy, and peace in truth. He desired for Christians to walk in the truth. There's a very strong relationship between truth and love, as Ryan shared this morning, and that leads to girding up of Christian fellowship. And that Christian fellowship, then, we had the theme statement from today's passage this morning in 2 John. Genuine Christian fellowship is marked by those who are committed to love one another in truth and who hold on to that truth in love. So with that background, if you want to turn in your Bibles or simply pick up the page on your chair there, we're going to be looking at Psalm 86:11. We read this morning in the broader passage when Bear read the passage out of Psalm 86. But Psalm 86 says, "Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." If you're looking for points, really the verse itself gives you 2 points. One of them is learning God's way. The second would be uniting with God's heart. So learning God's way and uniting with God's heart. This psalm is typically, normally attributed to David. And when you look at the first part of Psalm 86, as we read this morning, David is under attack by his enemies. There are people who are after him. And so in the early verses of Psalm 86, he is beseeching God to protect him from his enemies. He's asking for protection and deliverance from his enemies. And then almost suddenly in verse 5, David begins to come forward and offer great praises for who God is. So he uses phrases like, "You alone are good. You are ready to forgive. You are abundant in loving kindness. No one is like you, O Lord. All nations shall worship and glorify you. You are great. You alone are God." When you look at these verses before verse 11, you can almost infer a therefore in verse 11. It's almost as if David was saying, "Therefore, God, because you are so great and mighty and powerful and wonderful, teach me your way." Notice that David asked God to teach him his way. He could have asked for a number of ways. He was in terrible straits. His enemies were pursuing him. He could have said, "God, give me several different options to get out of this mess." But David says, "God, teach me your way," singular. Our society, unfortunately, tends to have many options in many ways. There are even those who claim the name of Christ who would say that there are many different ways to God. Fortunately, we have those of us who believe that there is only one way, and when we espouse that, we're chided or criticized for being narrow and not inclusive enough. But David was looking for God's way. He was desperate to know God's way. So what does it mean to know God's truth? He said, teach me your way that I may walk in your truth. We saw this morning out of 2 John, love is walking according to God's commands. So I believe when David was talking about walking in the truth, that he was basically saying, I need to be obedient to God's word. When we do that, when we are obedient to God's word, we follow his commands, we will love one another, we will suffer for the cause, we will take the gospel to the ends of the earth, we will be obedient to all of God's commands. Why walk in God's truth? Why would David ask God specifically, why is it that David would say, I need to walk in your truth? Well, David was looking certainly for a physical escape from his enemies. But if all he got was a physical escape from his enemies, then yes, his physical needs would be met, but not his spiritual needs. David needed to be totally, completely, 100% dependent on God for all of his needs. So he could have been saved from his enemies, but then might have lost his relationship with God. We in the church today struggle somewhat with this idea of meeting physical needs and talking about spiritual needs, that delicate balance of meeting those two. So we have those Christian groups who really emphasize what we refer to frequently as the social gospel, to meet physical needs, but then they rarely, if ever, share the gospel with people. And then other people who do just the opposite. I have a quote from Vance Havner, who was a fairly prolific 20th century evangelist, who said, if the social gospel had been present during the days of the prodigal son, someone would have given him a bed and a sandwich, and he would have never gone home to his father. That's a pretty strong statement, but you get the idea that when we emphasize the social gospel over actually sharing the true gospel, then we really don't do anybody any good. Fortunately for us, at Second Mile here at UBC, we strive to meet people's physical needs, but everybody who walks through that door is going to have the opportunity to hear the real true gospel of Jesus Christ before they leave. So David said, teach me your way. How do we learn? How did David learn God's way? I believe in the same way that we do. And that's through personal Bible study, group Bible studies, the preaching of God's word on Sunday morning, are different ways that we can know God's way. Several times lately, I've visited with visitors in the church service after the service, and they have told me how much they appreciate visiting a service where the word of God is preached from the pulpit. So UBC family, we never need to take that for granted, and we need to guard it jealously. I enjoy teaching in an ABF. I participate in a life group. I sit under biblical teaching on Sunday morning. But for me personally, the way that I get to know God's way the best is in small group men's Bible study. I've been part of a men's group. I know this may be hard to believe, but our group has been meeting weekly for over 20 years. Three of our six members are original to the team whenever we started about 20 years ago. While I enjoy teaching a co-ed ABF, there's something different about a same-gender Bible study. I think it provides for transparency, accountability, honesty, some things that you simply can't get in a co-ed situation. I know in our group, when you have a small group and there's a trust factor built up, then you're in that place where you can say, I don't understand this passage, or you can even say, I do understand this passage, I just don't want to do it. You can do that when you trust each other enough to be able to be that open and that honest. So if you're not part of one of those kind of groups, I would encourage you to either join one or start your own. We've got a lot of opportunities here at UBC. Stephen Martin could certainly give you directions on where to head to look for one of those. Another way to learn God's way is one-on-one or mentoring. That's simply the idea that someone who's more mature in their faith has studied scriptures and has applied it, has seen it applied specifically in their life experiences, and they're willing to pour that truth into a younger believer. So this is one of those situations where if you are a younger believer, I encourage you to seek out someone and see if they're willing to pour truth into you. If you're one of those more mature believers in UBC, be willing and open to be one of those who's willing to pour truth into a younger one. So the first half of the verse again, teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. Then the second part of the verse, unite my heart to fear your name. What does David mean by uniting his heart? I believe that his idea here, once again, is total dependence on God so that he will be one with God. The idea is uniting his heart with God's heart so that he can be totally in tune with who God is. Now, I don't believe that we're ever called to be in a holy huddle. I think we're called to be salt and light and to be out in the world. But we need to be careful that we are in the world but not of the world. United hearts will lead to us being in sync with God's will. So what this part about, the last part about fearing God's name. In Deuteronomy 10, God tells the nation of Israel, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul, and to keep the commandments and statutes of the Lord which I am commanding you. If you read back through that verse, I think you're going to see some real similarities to what we talked about this morning in 2 John. We know from our own experience that non-believers typically don't have a fear of the Lord. Our fallen nature makes us in such a place where we don't have any real normal fear of who God is. Jeremiah 32, 38, and 39 is really a parallel to Psalm 86. When it says, they shall be my people, and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me always, for their own good and for the good of their children also. We are to know God's way through the study of his word, through walking in obedience, through making us one with him in unity, and to fear God. So what is truth? Or maybe the better question is for us as believers, who is truth? Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if Jesus is the way and the truth, we might look retrospectively back at Psalm 86 and rewrite that verse as, teach me Jesus, O Lord, that I may walk in Jesus. May that be the prayer of UBC, that we know more and more and more about Jesus so that we may walk in him. Let's pray.